Mathena Actipus. I have a PhD in psychology. I studied evolutionary models of cooperation for my PhD, and now I'm applying those ideas to understanding cancer.
Well, that's quite a leap from psychology to cancer. Was it easy to make?
Well, I'm still making it. So I think there's a lot of really important insights from sort of thinking about both our psychology and how we perceive cancer, but then also thinking about what cancer is like in terms of its features as a social entity, because cancer cells are in contact with other cancer cells through sort of direct touch and also through lots and lots of signaling systems. So there's actually quite a bit going on at the level of decision making in terms of the cancer cells themselves. So I think there's a wide open arena for doing some interesting work.
I guess you had to learn a lot of biology before you could get on top of this subject.
Yeah, and I still am. So it's a long process, and I'm sort of, you know, learning the pieces that are most relevant to the areas that I'm studying. So one of the things I'm particularly interested in is migration and metastasis. So I've been trying to learn as much as I can about what makes cells gain the ability to move, what makes them disconnect from the cells that are near them to go on to a new environment, and what they're responding to in their environment that causes those changes.
What are you going to be talking about today?
Today I'm going to be talking about how, on one hand, we see cancer as being smart on some level. And that's a result both of us ourselves being organisms that have evolved in a very social world. So we see things as social. We see entities as having intentions. So we see cancer, if it comes up inside us, or if you're a doctor and you see it in your patient, you have a tendency to think about it as a social entity that may be intelligent or smart or doing things in response to what you're doing. And if we try to break that down and think, well, you know, what is it that actually makes cancer look smart to us? There's two fundamental things. One is that cancer is a population of billions of cells that are reproducing and they're evolving constantly. So if we do things to a tumor, it's going to look like it's responding when really what's happening is that selection is acting. So I think at the population level, what we think we see is cancer being smart, when really what we're just seeing is evolution going on at the population level. But there's another way that cancer cells might be smart, and that's in the fact that they can conditionally respond to their physical and social environment. So a single cell can change from being a sedentary cell to being a motile cell if it's in a region that has low oxygen. So I think that it's important to, you know, when we're thinking about cancer and we're conceiving of it as smart and we're then trying to counteract what we think of as its dangerous effects, to really consider why are we seeing it as smart, and then how do we interfere with the mechanisms that are actually leading to that particular kind of smart-looking behavior on the part of the cancer cells.
So this is a rather new approach. How is this going down with cancer biologists?
Yeah, so this is a new research program that I'm working on now with Carlo Maley and Steve Newberg here at ASU, and Virginia Kwan here at ASU also, and they're both social psychologists. And we're trying to basically come up with a systematic research program to evaluate, first of all, what are the biases that shape how we think of cancer, and how do they relate to how patients perceive their cancer, and how clinicians approach cancer, how researchers think about solutions to problems relating to cancer, and then can we actually give researchers and clinicians tools that may improve the way they're approaching cancer, that take into account the fact that we have certain biases when we're interpreting the behavior of cancer, to think of it as a social entity that's smart, that may have a particular essence to it that we're responding to. And we may feel disgusted by it because it's activating our disgust response system as something that's, you know, invading our bodily space. So I think there's a lot of potential, but it's work that's really yet to be done.
And how are you enjoying this workshop?
I think it's wonderful. This is, you know, my favorite kind of environment to interact with other academics, where you have, you know, presentations of information that are relatively short and lots of opportunities for discussion, not just at the end, but, you know, very readily being able to interrupt when someone's talking, ask a question. That's a really nice way to get an exchange of ideas that really flows rather than have it be very structured.
And it's it consists of people from lots of different backgrounds. Is that a positive benefit for you?
I think it's great. I mean, anytime you're bringing people together who have lots of different background knowledge, occasionally you run into difficulties. But I think those difficulties are far outweighed by the benefits of having people with different perspectives, different organizing frameworks, and just asking different kinds of questions. I think that's really valuable.
What's been the question that caused you to think the most?
The question that caused me to think the most, I think, what is really going on when cells in a tumor or microtumors that are nearby are interacting with one another in terms of the competition versus cooperativeness? And in particular, one of the suggestions that was made today was that perhaps we want to enhance the competition that's going on within tumors or even between tumors. And I think it's a really complex question, and it's not really clear to me whether it's better to sort of enhance the competition within tumors so they kill themselves off, or whether we want to sort of take all the weapons away from all of the cancer cells for even fighting with one another. And I, that's a question that I think I'll be sort of stewing on for quite a while, and probably the answer will be it depends on the type of cancer and maybe the environment that the cancer evolved in.